Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again.
No more threshold!
Trash talk, get in the pit. It's the Prophet Joshua.
It's Steve McJeezy.
August 12th, 2018, Sunday. We are here in Mid-City, New Orleans, number 205, Red Dress Run weekend. It was a long, exhausting one, Steven.
Dirty linen.
Way before we started recording for today, Steve showed me that video of that guy who stole the plane.
In Seattle,
killed himself, but was just like doing barrel rolls and flips and having fun with air traffic control before he said, like, yeah, I'm just going to call it a night, guys, and nosedive that thing into the ground.
Yeah, he asked the F-15 pilots that are following him, he goes, hey, pilot guy, how do you do a barrel roll in this thing?
Nothing more lucid sounding than the dude who knows he's going to kill himself just flying a plane around. And he sounded like a happy guy.
I mean, luckily that maniac, you know, just kind of was like, I'm just going to do me, destroy some property. And he ended up landing in an island with, like, he just destroyed a bunch of trees in the plane. That was it. So,
no, good for him.
It works out.
That was a very funny, peaceful video. So, Red Dress Run weekend. If you don't know what Red Dress Run is, it's in the title. It's a bunch of drunk people in red dresses throughout the entire French Quarter.
White people collide.
And CBD. Yeah, it's not too much of an ethnic
Dude,
kind of
bourbon
holiday.
Is a such a nightmare.
It is worse than Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it really is.
The handover with sheer trash levels. I was just looking. Okay, here's how the Prophet, myself, goes from got to work on Saturday, probably can't do Red Dress Run, sucks. I would have liked to do it. I know some people going to be down there. Oh, well. How that barrel rolls into me being on Bourbon Street.
Oh, Jesus. In a red dress.
No. Okay, working Saturday. Had to do an event with the radio station. So I slept in Friday because I have to wake up at 4 a.m. every day. So I slept in about 10 or 11 on Friday. I had to be at the Pontchartrain Center for 1 o'clock for work. Got on I-10. Carrollton on ramp. Anyone who was on I-10 yesterday around 12:30 in the afternoon knows that there was like a 6-car accident at the West End exit. Some truck flipped, guardrail destroyed. So parking lot on I-10.
I'm surprised you don't use River Road to Causeway when you have to
I
go
was
that
going
way.
To the I never go to the Pontchartrain Center. I was thinking it's Saturday. It's noon.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot down 10 to Williams. It'll be fine. It'll take 15 minutes. It'll take 15 minutes. No. Massive accident. So, late getting to work over Pontchartrain. And it was a play date thing for the radio station. Kids everywhere. It was entertaining the kids. Bouncy castles. Things like that. Right. Joshua around children. So I did that. And then me and one of my bosses, we had to run back down to downtown from there to Champion Square last night. If you all went, it was Stone Temple Pilots and the Cult and Bush at Champion Square. Had to run down there and hang banners. And then I had my stuff with me. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go to the gym. Go back home. That's my Saturday. That was Saturday. I went back to my office. Got text message from some female friends. Hey, we're in the CBD hanging out. Not doing Red Dress Run. Not doing. Just we had brunch. We're hanging out. Nopsy Hotel.
Yeah, they went to Nopsy. Yeah,
Nopsy is the indoor bar at Nopsy. Is awesome. Giant like marble bar. Great air conditioning.
Downstairs.
Yeah. I'm messing with the roof. I've probably talked about it on the show before. I'm not messing with rooftops in August.
Yeah.
No. So
brutal.
I was like, you know what? I still need to go for a run later. I'll meet y'all at Nopsy, and then I'll probably just go back home. No. Ended up going from Nopsy to Razoo.
Razoozies.
Like shit. Which is ground zero for
Red
Dress Run. The courtyard at Razoo. Just the amount of back knee I was like witness to at Razoo with these giant roided out dudes who use Red Dress Run as an excuse to like, you know, wear as little clothing as possible. So
gym tan laundry.
GTL t-shirts everywhere.
Everywhere.
Good on them. Wish I had one.
Yeah.
They don't make them in tri-blend V-necks though. So, just staring at giant acne
steroid shoulders and girls with the dead 1,000-yard stare eyes because they've been drinking since 11.
Jesus.
Let's dispel a myth right away about Red Dress Run. If your friends want to do it next year, you've done it in past years, there is no reason you have to wake up and get started at 9 a.m.
No.
Or 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. You don't have, you know, no one does the race. You don't have to do that. You could go to work all day, get off work at 5 p.m., go home, have dinner, shower, and then go out.
Really?
About 7 p.m.
And there's still people out there?
I was out there 7, 8 p.m. packed. Red dresses everywhere.
You gotta be shitting me.
So it's not day drinking, really. You don't have to wake up. It doesn't have to ruin your Saturday.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because I was on a balcony we were at Razzoo. I went down to that Channing Tatum place, Saints and Sinners. I was getting dragged. This wasn't my idea. I was like, well, here we are. We're doing Red Dress Run now. We ended up at one of the really terrible bourbon bars, Prohibition, with the balcony.
Right, but weren't they all in dresses, though?
All dresses.
And yeah.
I guess those people were, some of them, I guess, had been drinking all day. But really, if you had not gone to the quarter till 7 o'clock at night, you would have not missed a thing.
Jesus.
So there is...
people just hanging on by their bootstraps.
They all had that, you know, Walking Dead eyes, man.
Oh, dude,
It's just cool in a little bit. So I'm on the balcony looking up and down Bourbon.
Dave Curtin, Death Stare.
The sheer amount of garbage on Bourbon Street. I mean, like, actually, not people, garbage.
Yeah.
It was Mardi Gras levels of filth.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know, because before I've done Red Dress Run, I just start so early and I go home early, generally, because you just can't drink that much.
I've seen public sex acts.
Yeah.
In years past.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Girls just giving dome. It's hilarious.
So, yeah, it was just a nightmare. Anyway, I probably have more stories that I've blocked out of my memory.
Do you want to hear about my Saturday?
Well, hold on. with the girls I was with. It was how can we one up this Red Dress Run thing? We have been doing bourbon for a few hours.
Was it now? Like 9?
We weren't trying to hide in like quiet bourbon bars. We were at Razzoo and Saints and Sinners and Christ. We could have ended up, you know, the upstairs clubs of these places, like you know, stuff like Bourbon Heat. It looks like a 2 a.m. dance club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And none of the girls were in red. We were all not.
I know.
In red. I was in work clothes. I was in my work polo shirt.
Jesus.
I was not done up to like spend a night on the town.
Right.
I look like guy who, you know, just got off his shift at UPS.
You look like an iconoclast.
And not because I was purposely spiting it. I saw one of our friends was out there. We met her at Razzoo and she was in a blue dress. So. Fantastic.
I saw the pictures of Demanda and friends, and I can't.
We split up from the group a little bit, met up with other people, and then we pedicabbed it out of the quarter to guess where. How could we one up the crowd, the awful crowd surrounding yourself with in Bourbon Street?
No, Barcadia.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Worse.
Worse.
Lucy's.
Worse. Jesus.
Worse. CBD is correct.
Sweat Eye.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Right as we walked into Red Eye, two shirtless dudes fist fight. I had to grab Amanda and just pull her out of the way. And within the first 30 seconds of walking in.
Two dudes were like, shirtless red dresses?
No, just Red Dress Run is the excuse for the Red Eye crowd to start the night with no shirt.
God, were they jacked?
No, but it was still like, yo, man, you've been messing with me all night. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, God.
Shove, 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 swing, duck, tackle. Crew jumps over the bar.
Oh, jeez. I don't think, is Logan still working there?
I didn't.
That's probably why they wanted to go.
I didn't recognize, but yeah, once again, Red Eye is like the, every time I walk into Red Eye, I think of like walking into the showers at the Holocaust.
Yep.
Just like like a square room, low ceiling. It's like if there was a shower head, we could gas these
one
people.
One way in, one way out.
Probably no one's missing any of these folks at Red Eye on Red Dress Run. So was that Red Eye for a period of time? And then
I like Red Eye because they'll do old school hip-hop.
You don't like Red Eye.
No, no. The music is always like very nostalgic. That's the only reason why.
It was an interest for a day that started with me thinking I just had to go to work on Saturday. I'm going to miss Red Dress Run. Would have liked to have done it. Bye. No. It spiraled out of control quickly. And it, so went back uptown after all that, and woke up on the couch. Just
beautiful.
Just like, how did I get here? Why am I not in my bed?
Jesus. Yeah, that's a fun one, man. And it didn't rain.
It rained in the morning.
Yeah.
I was in the rain earlier at Champions.
I was at the gym around 11 o'clock, and you know, I go to the gym in a quarter, and it was starting to rain, and all I could think about was the steam and the sweat and the BO that was going to be taking place.
Yeah, those bodies were glistening by the time the combination of damp clothes and sweat and Axe body spray and all the different, like, you know, women have to wear all the perfumes and all the stuff in their hair, and as it gets humider, just like the smells emanate.
Right.
So you get a mix of all those chemicals when you walk into Razu.
Yeah.
Or Red Eye. Oh, God.
God.
So I can say I didn't miss Red Dress Run this year, and moving forward, someone's like, "Yeah, we're all waking up at 9 a.m. We're gonna be we're gonna have breakfast, and we're gonna do Red Dress." I was like, "You guys don't need to be down there till sundown."
Oh yeah, because they were like
saving
grace,
positive thoughts. It wasn't that warm out after the rain.
Yeah, it ended up being pretty nice. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, your boy took a licensing test, and it's the hardest of the four parts, and it's four grueling hours. So I get there and I'm checking in, and they're like, "We're having
we had two different Saturdays."
I know. Well, I know. "We're having technology problems." I was like, "What?" They're like, "Yeah, the security cameras on this side of the room are not working, so we can't certify your exam." So I was like,
"So you take the test with the cameras watching you, and that's part of the certification?"
Well, all right. So you walk into this, you walk into this building. Okay, it's very highly regulated, because the people that are taking tests there are nurses, doctors, CPAs. I mean, like, the whole gambit of tests you can take are there, but they had the whole. Like, there's security cameras everywhere, and then there's people monitoring your security cameras in, like, the hallway, and then you have a room to the right and a room to the left, and you're just taking tests.
And this is all to take a test for what now?
A license from a CPA license.
So I come at you with conspiracy theories of how crazy some shit is in the government with secret underground bases, and you think I'm crazy.
No.
And just to get a licensing test, you got to do this much shit?
They do a fingerprint on you.
So,
because they have to certify that it's you. That's
makes
the only
conspiracy,
way. I know.
Makes my Alex Jones conspiracies not that ridiculous, Steven.
I understand. But it's like, you have to have the same controls in everywhere around the country so that no one can say, "Oh, well, this guy had an advantage," or "They could have cheated over here." There needs to be all that needs to be taken out of the equation. Fine. But the security cameras are not working over here. So there's like a group of people that are pissed off because they can't take their tests. So the guy's like, "Look, we're working on this, blah, blah, blah. Like, if we get it up and running in the next 30 minutes and everything is good."
But if we don't fix it, everybody gets an A.
Yeah, but if we don't fix it, we're going to have to reschedule everybody. And all I'm thinking is, like, these poor people that
those people are like, "We're missing Red Dress Run for this."
Or maybe not. Or because maybe some people drove from, like, you know, other parts of the state. I know some girl was from Jackson, Mississippi, because this is the closing. This is the closest testing center. So she drove 3 hours. So, you know, he's trying to calm everybody down. And then some people were like, "Well, look, I'm just going to reschedule. I'm going to reschedule." So I kind of just waited around because I got this shit in my head and I need to get it out. So about 30 minutes later, we were able to go in there, and they kind of got everything working. Like, because they had like three IT guys working on it immediately. But, like, when you check in, like, you check in 15 minutes early, you're trying to take that thing at 1. It's a 4-hour exam. Mine is.
Yeah.
I took every minute. So, I got out at, like, 5:15.
You wouldn't have missed Red Dress Run.
I know. I was thinking about it. And I was so exhausted that I just went to go get a drink. I bought a steak.
Actually, by 5 p.m., I wasn't even in the quarter.
Yeah, exactly. I just bought a steak, went home, mowed the grass, said hi to Mrs. McGovern, like, cooked steak. Drank bottle of wine, went to bed. Like, it was very, it was stupid Saturday, but it was, all I was thinking to myself was, you are mind fucking these people who have, like, somebody like me, but I'm cool, calm, and collective. I failed like 10 of these exams, so I don't even care. But you have people here who are freaking out because everything's on the line, you know, and
that's a good way to weed out my CPAs immediately.
Exactly.
I don't want someone to freak out because of a 30-minute
exactly.
delay.
And I don't know, they probably weren't all CPAs. Some of them may have been nursing.
That's probably, you know what? It was a fix. That's part of the test.
Exactly.
That's how they weed out the CPAs.
But
the stress level.
But accountants are nerds, and they're like really like antsy about things, and they have to have things in a certain order. So I would imagine that one of them was. But you saw your boy McJeezy just hair tie.
Yeah, I need
hair
the guy
bag.
That does my money to be calm and collected in
Dude,
a crisis.
I was cooler than the other
so
side
you
of the pillow.
The test and now you make millions of dollars. Is that
I don't know if I passed. It's got a writing section in it, so it has to be graded by a person. So it takes about 3 weeks to get that.
Okay.
So we'll see. All it needs is 75.
All right.
75 is the same thing as a 99.
Well, we learned this week in New Orleans that you don't mess with people's money.
Exactly. That's what I was going to get at. When you were talking about the fight at Red Eye, I was going to say, this is exactly why you do not approach people and harass them for money, whatever, that you don't know. If they say no, you go away immediately because this could happen. You could run into somebody who I think is... This guy is more than likely...
Let's get to the headlines. After his wallet was stolen, man chased thief and beat him to death at an uptown gas station.
I know. I had.
Fella looks like the drummer for Shadows Fall or Killswitch Engage.
Or
he's got the Pantera shirt,
the lead
shirt,
singer
actually.
For Rage.
Yeah. He's doing the white guy with dreads thing, and you can tell that hair's naturally thinning.
I may have told this story on the podcast before, but...
His name is Simon.
Yeah, Simon Morris.
Simon says, motherfucker.
Well, look, we'll go to this story, and I had a similar story that happened at this exact same gas station.
This man, 31, he's younger than me.
That dude looks very aged. How is that dude 31?
Yes, so, Express Mart Gas at 4140 South Claiborne.
Yeah, it always is.
8:20 a.m. on a Saturday.
That's the gas station that's across the street from the Wendy's.
I've been there.
Yeah,
I know exactly what it is. You will get accosted.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. So our fella here with the sleeveless Pantera shirt, looks like Joshua at the gym, actually. He snapped when a man swiped his wallet outside the gas station, chased the thief across Claiborne. He says across the street. I got to assume it's Claiborne. And beat him to death with his fists and feet.
How did he catch him?
Yeah, you thieves, you got to be fast. That's the first rule of being a thief. You got to be quick on your feet or you're going to be stomped by those feet. So he gets an account of manslaughter, killing the man identified in court records only by his first name, Edwin. Edwin the thief, stomped to death. So he asked him for a dollar. So the guy, the thief, approached Shadows Fall white dreadlock man outside the Express Gas Mart, asked him for a dollar, which we've all been in the situation. We're pumping gas. And some guy comes up to you, and you're like, hey, man, my car won't start. You think help me get some gas? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, sorry, man, I don't carry any cash. We all do that. But then Edwin reached into Morris's back pocket.
I still don't understand.
His wallet.
That.
South Claiborne at Milan.
I don't understand how somebody can just. He must have turned his back to him, and the dude just went yoink. You know, like he must have turned his. You know what I'm saying?
See,
I don't know.
You know what? He was probably wearing them baggy shorts where you could try to swipe into the one. You know, you can't swipe a wallet if he's wearing tight jeans. You know,
right?
With the skinny jeans.
And if you're gonna have the baggy pants, you gotta have the chain wallet.
Yeah, this guy looks like he should have had
the chain. He should have had the chain wallet. Yeah, he absolutely should have.
So, yeah, so Morris gave chase and caught up with him in the rear driveway of High Class Customs, an upholstery and window tinting shop at 4201.
It's right there, yeah.
Oh, there we go. And Morris wrested his wallet back and then began beating Edwin with his fists.
Could you imagine watching this? I would have not stopped him.
Yeah, this would have been an interesting little... entertainment for the clerk at the gas station.
This is Edward Norton.
Or if you're hanging out at the window tinting shop.
In American History X. This is exactly the scene right here.
Yeah.
You got the dude on the ground, and you curb stomp him.
So some people did see what was happening and tried to intervene. Two people tried to restrain Morris, but he kept punching and started kicking Edwin, who was begging Morris to stop and was attempting to cover his face and body.
Do you think my man Simon... Morris was on cocaine or some other drug?
Nah, man. This is like I just got robbed adrenaline. You know what this is.
Oh, I know.
I could see Big Jeezy beating a guy to death.
It happened.
Steve's nodding.
It happened.
Oh, you beat a guy to death?
Not to death, but at the same gas station when I was in college, this guy came over to me and he was like, yo, man, can I get a dollar?
That was probably Edwin.
I don't know. And I said, nah, man. And he said, and he kept getting closer. And he's like, yeah, can I get a dollar? I said, no. I said, if you don't step back, I'm going to sock you in the chest. He said, what? And he took one step further. What? Right here in that sternum area. And all I heard was, and he fell to the ground. I got in my car and left.
Oh.
Yeah.
Same gas station?
Same gas station.
Jesus.
No, I'm dead serious.
I think it was Edwin. Or at least an associate of Edwin.
I hit him right. Like
clearly
right here.
His game was, I'm going to keep asking for a dollar and keep advancing on you.
I told him specifically, do not take one more step toward me.
Well,
awful.
Simon battered Edwin's head and body for a duration of 5 minutes or more, the police say. He didn't stop until one of the witnesses managed to pull him off. The witness said he feared Morris would try to beat him
up as well. I know. I'd be scared, too.
You don't mess with the tiger when he's eating. Come on. Paramedics took Edwin to the University Medical Center for treatment, but died there not long after arrival. Officer detained Morris and secured a warrant to jail him on the account of manslaughter. Man.
You think Edwin, if he'd have known a little jiu-jitsu, would have been fine?
Okay, so let's get to the law here. In Louisiana, manslaughter is defined as a killing that is carried out in the heat of passion following a provocation that would cause an ordinary person to lose self-control. The crime calls for a maximum of 40 years in prison, but doesn't include mandatory minimum punishment.
If he would have just beat his face in, and the guy still had a heartbeat.
You know, in the era of
he'd
gun,
be fine.
In the era,
he'd have got second. He made it. He may have got second degree battery, maybe, but I could easily see a judge being like, "You have a heartbeat, and you stole this guy's wallet. Done. Bye bye."
I gotta say, it's gonna sound like a psycho thing, but if I'm at a gas station and a dude stole my wallet, and it was obviously the guy's unarmed. You know, he didn't, you know, pull a gun.
Right.
He was trying to, obviously a dude's unarmed and I caught up to him. I gave chase.
Body shots.
I obviously wouldn't chase the guy with a gun.
Right.
You know,
stick to the body though. Yeah. Stick to the ribs.
But but see, here's the thing with the whole beating people to death problem. I've watched enough videos online of the drunk guy getting in the bouncer's face
and just getting absolute like snuck.
Or just like the backyard fight videos where guys get one hit, lose their balance, and just crack their head on the sidewalk. Done.
Right. No,
done.
Absolutely.
So the beating to death thing is the sidewalk could have done the beating. They could have tussled. Bigger guy picks up other dude, slams him on the ground, back of the head whiplash on the concrete.
Anything.
That's it. The fight could be 15 seconds long.
Oh, yeah.
Dead. So the when someone is beaten to death, it's not a... I mean, this said this guy was punching for 5 minutes.
Dude, he must have been much bigger than him.
But, yeah, I imagine there was
did
some...
Did he tackle him?
I'd imagine there's some malnourishment in Edwin's case.
Did he tackle him? Because, like, I would have loved to see the tackle.
I'm sure when you're chasing someone to get something back from them,
God.
You're tackling
Dude,
him.
The tackle must have been brutal.
But I'm saying, like, the tackle could have banged the guy's head in the ground, and from there on, you're pummeling. I mean, the dude's already dead, but you're just... You know,
right.
It's just decoration after that.
Yeah, but even if you tackled him and he banged his head and died and you didn't do one more thing, you'd probably get off. It's that excessive just smashing, like you had your wallet back, this guy's donezo,
but it's like every guy who ever harassed you and tried to steal from you or did steal from you, all that rage is being unloaded on that one dude.
Yeah, he caught...
Everybody who ever asked, everyone who ever came up to me on Canal Street, and it said they could tell me where I had my shoes.
Ugh.
Or where I got my shoes. All of that is down in a gas tank somewhere in the pit of my stomach and is getting unloaded on that dude at the gas station who I caught. Like that. So anyway, back to what I was saying. My circumstance, I'm being 100% honest. I'm beating the dude to death.
Edwin caught the rage of many other people's sins, for sure.
He caught a moment in time right
yeah.
there.
Well, poor Edwin. Well,
poor
I'm
Edwin,
not,
poor Simon.
I'm not
right?
sad for either one of these guys.
Some of the comments of NOLA Trash Talk were saying they're going to put together a GoFundMe for this dude's bail.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. If the DA...
Look, Steve, have you known me as someone to lose my temper?
Only twice.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
you were like 20 deep, so let's just go off that.
Really?
Okay. It's very, very few and far between.
Okay. And I've always said, I don't flip that switch unless you're messing with my money? Or physical safety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're robbing me and accosting me, you've combined those two triggers right there. Like, I mean, being that physical safety is my money, because if you try to hurt me, then I have medical bills, you've cost me money. So, and money, it's not that money's important, it's that money is tied to time, because I get up every day and go do things.
Yeah.
And so my whole existence is tied to the gathering of this value thing, and you're coming into my life, and you're affecting this value thing that all my time of existence is invested into getting. So it's a personal. So when you mess with my money and my safety, it's a personal affront to my very the fabric of what I do. In which case, I flip the switch and I will lose my temper and I will beat you to death.
Do you think
not trying to be macho here? I'm just being very logical. Like if you mess with do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
am I making this clear?
I mean, you gotta, like, when you're hitting somebody in a dome, first of all, their dome is stronger than your hand. He must have been elbowing him or something, but that's just a long.
It's adrenaline, man.
Like, five minutes of beatdown is a long time.
I think it could have been a little dramatic with the witnesses.
Just.
Everything happens in slow-mo,
right?
But a lot, you know.
I mean, a minute of beatdown, how many punches can you get in 60 seconds when you got a dude on the ground? 20, 30, you just. Wham, wham.
What do you think? They don't have it here. Obviously, the guy probably doesn't have an autopsy yet. What do you think was the cause of death?
Brain contusion. Easily.
Okay. All right.
Brain contusion. But do you think Simon, when he tackled him, whispered in his ear, "Wrong white boy"?
I'd say in the moment you don't have the presence of mind for the cool one-liners.
Do you think there were some ethnic slurs?
He didn't do the 80s bad guy thing. Don't you ever.
Yeah. Do you think there was some ethnics? Chris Rock had a good bit. He goes, "Hey, white folks, if black guy's robbing you, then you get a pass."
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite lines from his ever. It's hilarious.
If anyone's robbing you, let's take race out of the equation. Right. Anyone's robbing you.
All social contracts are void at that point.
What's what I came back to saying? You're messing with my money, you're messing with the reason for existence.
Right.
How I fill up my day-to-day life. You're interfering with it. You're basically saying all that stuff you do doesn't matter.
It just sucks because if you give him a solid beatdown and he gets arrested.
I'm justifying murder in this case for my own existential reasons.
I know. But if you give him a solid beatdown and he gets arrested, you more than likely will not face any charges. And then you get your money back and your life back.
Heat of the moment, adrenaline.
Right.
He's not weighing these things.
That's right. I'm playing Monday morning quarterback here, I know. I just feel like the excessive amount. I mean,
Monday morning beatdown.
Monday morning beatdown quarterback. Yeah. Well, this was I love this story because not that like bums and people that rob people.
I like
read
it because no guns or weapons were involved.
Right, that's another one too.
Just like dude tried to rob you unarmed, you gave chase unarmed, and you went physically. You got your property back, and you didn't like whip off your studded belt, wrap it around your fist. It was just feet and hands.
But it's like 8 a.m, dude.
Physical. Simon could have been up all night listening
to
Pantera.
That's what I'm saying. I think he was a little coked up. He looks like it. But that's just an observation. That's all. But yeah, so this story had me dying laughing because I was just imagining, like, just being a spectator, just watching this lunacy happen.
If Edwin had lived, he'd learned a very important lesson about approaching white dudes in dreads with sleeveless Pantera shirts at gas stations.
Yeah.
You got to pick your victims more carefully.
Yes.
So all you thieves listening who haven't been beat to death yet, don't white dude with the sleeveless Pantera shirt.
He's probably been in mosh pits where he's got just brutalized. Used to this.
Pick the accountant looking motherfucker.
Exactly.
With the Clark Kent glasses, looks out of his element at the gas station, was really about to be on empty wouldn't usually stop there on Claiborne. Yep. Yep. Pick that guy.
Yep.
Not the dude who looks like he probably lives in the neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Because it's cheap.
Oh my God.
And he just needs a mattress and a stereo for his Pantera.
Dude stole that chick's cell phone in Audubon. If that had been me, we would have been in the fucking swamp, drowned in his fucking ass. Ugh.
That would have been a.
You want to see a baptism where you don't get up?
Well, hold on. But between the gas station and the window tinting place on Claiborne, this has to be on camera.
Somewhere. Oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is.
I like to see the weight classes of the two guys here.
I'm surprised that they said there were bystanders. You know people were filming this saying World Star.
Dude, I watched because I watch fucked up videos online, you know, while I'm at work. I watched one of these backyard fight videos and the dude got killed where, you know, he got punched. You know, a bit, I don't know if it was the impact of the punch or him landing on the back of his head. Anyway, lands, goes into a seizure because he's dying or dead.
Right.
And the guy's doing the video, doing World Star. But the World Star chant goes like this. It goes, the dude's seizing on the ground.
Yeah.
And they pull the other guy off of him. It's like, World Star, World Star. Oh, shit. Yo.
Oh, yo. He
gonna come out of it. He gonna come out of it.
Nope.
No, and he's like, dude, no, man, I think I gotta go to the hospital, man. No, let him be. Let him be. And the dude is like, you know,
sleeping. Sleeping.
Like, yeah.
You could tell when you're seizing and like your legs go up and your body goes limp.
He was completely stiff, yeah. Like seizing out.
Yeah.
But the World Star chant died down as the dude died. It was like, ooh, brutal. I don't know.
Well, there's probably two people that are out of society now that really probably didn't contribute much to it, so I don't care.
Yeah. So
who can we talk about the contribution to Lake Pontchartrain though?
If you have the social bicycles app for the blue bikes throughout the city, one of them ended up in the lake, according to the app. But then some of the tracking technology on this is a little wanky. People are saying that when they do their blue bike trips, like one person said they ended their trip in the middle of the river.
Right.
So but maybe somebody threw their blue bike up on a sailboat and
that's hilarious.
And away it went. Or it was on the back of a cargo plane out of Lakefront Airport.
Yeah, I don't know how that
But the fact that, that blue bike ended up in the lake off the coast of Gentilly.
that's a long distance though. That's like 10 miles.
Maybe the thing caught a current.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it could have rolled out there. Well, we've bitched and moaned about blue bikes all the time. I do not envy the guys who work for blue bikes and have to return them to. They have to go and gather the bikes and then make sure they're equally dispersed at all the stations.
That would be the most annoying.
Because
job
that blue
ever.
Bike station in the CBD next to Barcadia is always empty.
Really?
Because that is like the hub of like where everybody's grabbing a bike. So I it started off good first few months. Now I never see bikes there. And these guys, they drive around with trucks in the morning and they load the bikes up and they try to bring them back around.
Are they work for that company, right? They don't work for the city.
I think Social Bicycles is like, yeah, the company.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a shitty job because you have to go out to the hood to get some
I want to see the numbers though, like how many blue bikes they started with and how many they have now total.
People that take the Jeep, well, your credit card's on there.
If this bike did indeed end up in Lake Pontchartrain, the GPS technology is still working on it.
That'd be the first thing I did if I stole a credit card and I wanted a bike. I would just go get a bike. Take that GPS.
You just paint it, right?
Yeah. Take the GPS off and you're good.
You could keep the GPS on. Screw them.
they're just constantly looking for it.
Yeah. Well, how much effort are they going to put into one missing blue bike?
God, not none. Did I tell you about my buddy he took the boot off his car?
We went from talking about beating a thief to death to you stealing a bike with someone's credit card.
Hilarious. No, if I was Edwin, I would have done that.
No morals.
If I was Edwin, I would have done that. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
No morals and knowledge.
Did I tell you about my buddy with the boot, how he took the boot off?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, his car got booted, and he is a mechanic, so he's smart like that. He takes the tire off, changes the tire. He deflates the wheel, gets the boot off, and puts it in his trunk. Well, they have GPS systems in there, and the cops knocked at his door.
Why did he keep it?
I know. He just wasn't thinking. that he should have thrown it in a dumpster. He was just in a rush to get somewhere, and he had to go, you know, hither, thither, and yon. And he, so the cops knock on his door, and they're like, yeah, you stole property, so now not only are we charging you for this, we're charging you with this and this. Yeah, that sucked.
I've mentioned it before.
That was a $250 boot that cost him about 4G.
Yeah.
Well, that's awful,
I mentioned, I've said it before, and I've posted the links on Trash Talk. I said you can go buy your own boot, boot your own car, boot all four wheels if you really want to park there. What are they going to do? They can't double boot you.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So you can, they're like $50.
Buy your own boot and just put a sticker.
Buy four boots. Put print up your own immobilized orange sticker.
Oh my gosh.
Boot your own car. Give yourself your own parking ticket so they won't give you a parking ticket.
Uncle Fester, his old building that he used to work at, he had his own spot.
Make up your own city document saying car scheduled for tow removal.
Yeah.
On a
they wouldn't look.
No.
Yeah. Uncle Fester.
And take your license plate off.
His building that he used to work at, he had his own spot. So it said, like, B-Yard in it, like, you know? And people would park in his spot. He would put those orange stickers all over them. And they are just a bitch to get off.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, why do we have four stickers on our car?
They're worse than the boots.
Four stickers. Could you imagine?
Because you've been four times immobilized, son.
Jesus.
Scrolling ahead here. Man stabbed repeatedly while asleep on bench in the CBD.
Like, this is ridiculous. Is this right outside of is this right outside of
the 1000 block of Loyal Avenue? So by the Hyatt.
Okay. So that's on the other side of that. Okay. So that's a little bit more down from Rouse's. Okay, so that's down the street from Rouse's. All right. I was thinking that this guy got stabbed. You know the bench that's right you know how they have that neutral ground across the street from the Hyatt?
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a bench right there.
The weird monument of, like, the kids running frozen.
I was imagining somebody stabbing somebody while all these business people are out to lunch in the food trucks right there at Loyola.
It was, so the 1000 block of Loyola Avenue, that's nearby the Union Passenger Terminal. So, by the bus station.
It's just down the street from there.
Where Howard meets.
Yeah. Like, Loyola. Maybe, like, half a mile down the road.
Okay, so, dude was on the bench.
The third major crime on that same block in the past week?
Simon should go down there. Take care of business.
Jesus.
Cleaning up the town. August 1st, a 43-year-old man arrived at the bus station and passed out. When he woke up, he realized his belongings were missing. Later that night, these are other crimes, okay? So there's a bunch of random stuff. So, guy on the bench stabbed. And then the guy who stabbed him, the craziest part of the story, the assailant then fled on the streetcar.
I forgot about that part. That was part of
the most unbelievable part of this thing. Could you imagine fleeing anything on a streetcar?
What'd he do with the knife? I mean, there's blood everywhere. This guy must have had blood all over his clothes. Dude, if somebody walked on a streetcar with blood all over their clothes,
Like interaction. The guy woke up into a stabbing.
There's no motive here at all.
By the way, there should be a band called Stabbed Awake.
That's funny. Very funny.
But yeah, fleeing on a streetcar. That's not something that happens. That's like fleeing on a sailboat.
Yeah, and it happened like at 1 p.m. or 12?
Yeah, middle of the day.
Jesus.
So, fleeing on a streetcar. I can outrun the streetcar.
Wow.
I have before, many a time.
So
do you think he was just picked up? He fled. No one knows who did this. The stabber is still on the lam.
That is,
he could be on a streetcar.
How do they know he got on a streetcar? Witnesses?
The police said. Yeah, I guess witnesses. It's in
but they don't know any. They don't have no idea. So okay, this is what he did. Okay, I got
this. Actually happened on August 7th.
Okay, so I got it. So this was last Thursday. So this is what happened. He stabs the guy down by the by the interstate right there and jumps on a streetcar that goes up Rampart, goes up in the quarter, mm-hmm. Gone.
Yeah, he's like Hannibal Lecter disappearing into the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I hated that part of the movie.
So, yeah.
don't sleep by the bus station, folks. And don't ask white dudes with dreads at the gas station for a dollar. This is what we learned today.
Right. So, and, you know, 5 days or 6 days prior to that, two people got stabbed within 5 hours of each other at the same place right outside of the bus station. Here's
the bus station is a good place to find people who down on their luck.
Right. Don't take Megabus, everybody. Okay. Like, awful. Yeah. So it has been kind of a slow news week, but
no, it hasn't.
But this story makes me happy.
Folks, if you remember, if you've ever gone up and down St. Charles during Mardi Gras, you get to that sketchy part of the St. Charles parade route.
It's like right around Jackson, between Jackson and Martin Luther King.
I don't want to say it's by where Popeyes was or KFC. Kind of, yeah. But there was a daiquiri shop there that we all affectionately refer to as Black Deck. Because anytime there was some kind of criminal, like, you know, gunshots on the St. Charles parade route, it would be in the vicinity of this building. Well, the city gave it warnings for years and years and years. And then a few years ago, they finally shut it down.
Yeah, there's so many murders outside.
And it said, no more daiquiri shop here. For some reason, this has become a hub of problems every time we have a
parade. Well, they're slinging drugs out of there.
Yes. Now the owners of a Baton Rouge daiquiri shop want to open nearby and promise better management.
Absolutely out of their
minds. Nearby residents and business owners voice strong opposition to this idea, saying no promises or good intentions will keep it from becoming more of the same. Story comes courtesy of Uptown Messenger, Black Deck 2 Electric Boogaloo, Stephen.
I can't believe that they're allowing this. And why would you ever want to make
it? It's not being allowed. They're trying to get it happen.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to make it happen.
I don't know why you would want to make a daiquiri place on St. Charles Avenue at that corner anyway. It's all it does is breed crime.
These people, these guys, it's the Ferdinand Jefferson and Chris Mercier of the LSU Tiger Paw Daiquiris and Grill in Baton Rouge are trying to expand their business to bring it back to St. Charles, Black Deck 2. In New Orleans, they envision a simple concept where locals and neighbors can stop in for a daiquiri or Crown and Coke and then move on to continue their evening. This is like the EPA coming into Ghostbusters and wanting to shut down the containment unit.
It's hilarious.
It's like, you don't know what you're doing.
Keep going down here about the first...
The city does that thing that Egon does in Ghostbusters when the guy goes like... just, you know, flip the switch, shut it off. E-Guy makes the gesture of it's going to explode.
Yeah.
as he like, hurries out of the room. Like, we got to get out of here. Like, that's what the city's going to do. No, go ahead. Put a daiquiri shop there. We're just going to back away like Homer Simpson into the shrubbery.
Exactly. I could not imagine the liability insurance that the insurance company would do for this building if they had a daiquiri shop
there. It's amazing to me that guys who run a daiquiri shop in Baton Rouge are so naive to think that they could just have... We're just going to open up a nice neighborhood daiquiri bar and grill, and nothing will happen.
Awful. I mean, but they had to know that the former place was a daiquiri place that
the daiquiri
had
place
a lot of problems.
The daiquiri place cafe was Black Deck. And there's nothing. It just everyone knows what Black Deck was at 1401 St. Charles.
Oh, so they want to open one on 16. So 16 is two blocks toward Uptown.
Yes. So, but it's the same. It's like, it's not the same address.
Okay, but it's two blocks away. Okay, all right. So it's not the exact same building. I see, okay.
They got their first warning when it was running in 07 and then lost their license at the end of 2012. And then what happened, because the crowd still gathered at the same area, they moved over to do Santa Fe Tapas, which is right there next to like a Maison St. Charles, that little hotel over there that I've stayed at before years and years ago. So like even when they shut down the daiquiri shop, the crowd still gathered there as like, I guess, immemorial to the daiquiri shop and just went to the next door business and the problems continued.
Okay. They want to put this daiquiri shop next to tacos and beer on the other side of the street.
But that's the thing. The crowd is on the other side.
Exactly. I know. So it ain't never going to happen.
Well, so there you go. There's your crime updates for this week with NOLA Trash Talk. In positive news, folks, we won't end the show without leaving you with a thumbs up and a wink. Football's back.
Yeah.
You can
it's Friday.
You can forget about all your problems.
And we'll discuss if it's Kamara or Kamara for another year.
This is true. Yeah, so we had the first preseason game already so far. Saints won. Next first home game in the Dome is Friday. So we can forget about all these crimes. We have to focus on football.
This is the only thing that brings the city together.
I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McGeevy.
See you next week.